Welcome aboard. It is the 27th of March. It's Friday night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. You can find American Free Press, its website, that is, on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. If you're not a subscriber to American Free Press, I would urge you to become a subscriber. Not everything you see on the website is what is published in AFP, but you get a good sampling. Guarantee you, you aren't going to find any other weekly newspaper like it anywhere. You should also check out the Barnes Review website at barnesreview.org, barnesreview.org. I might mention in that regard that there are a couple other websites up on the internet that appear to be the work of the Barnes Review, but they are not. There is only one legitimate Barnes Review website. That's barnesreview.org. I said .org. I think both .org and .com work for the Barnes Review. BarnesReview. That's the word barn with an E after it, and then an S. BarnesReview.com and barnesreview.org. Well, I'm going to open up the phones here in a few minutes, folks. Don't really have that much to talk about. Had a busy day today working on a variety of things, including going through my voluminous archives. Oh, a lot of interesting things in there, folks. But, you know, it's interesting also that so much of the material that I have is just so damn depressing because, you know, articles and clippings and other items that I come across that are several years old, even though they are several years old, maybe decades old, they still remain relevant to the things that are going on in our world today. And that is why history is so important, because we really can't understand where we are unless we know how we got to where we are. And there have been so many damn lies told over and over again about so many things in our existence that, you know, it's hard to separate the truth from the lies. And, of course, as we've talked about, there are so many lies being inserted even into the alternative media, into the independent press, both print and broadcast. Much of it deliberate disinformation. Some people get a charge out of conjuring up crazy stories that are just too good to be true, and they think they're contributing something by doing that. I told somebody the other day, I may have mentioned this on the air, someday I'm going to write a book entitled, "No, the Jews Did Not Sink the Titanic, and Neither Did the Vatican." Or maybe it should be, "No, the Vatican did not sink the Titanic, and neither did the Jews." I saw this very creative story on the internet that claims that the reason why the Titanic was sunk was because there were all these American millionaires who were on the Titanic who were opposed to the creation of the Federal Reserve System, and that's why they sank the Titanic. Well, that's a great story. But there's absolutely no truth to it whatsoever, number one. And number two, the survival of the American millionaires on the Titanic, with the survival and or the death of the American millionaires on the Titanic was not necessarily precluded. I should say their death, their survival was not precluded. The only reason so many American millionaires died on the Titanic is because they tended to hang out together in a select little clique. And while the Titanic was sinking, they were hanging out on port side of the ship. On port side, they weren't letting men into the boats. If those millionaires had decided to hang out on the starboard side of the ship, where they were letting men into the boats, those American millionaires could have gotten off with their wives and survived. So there was no way the Federal Reserve gang was dictating where they stood on the boat deck.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA, and in some instances your 401k plan, into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. You know, I started off the program with a rather obscure and bizarre discussion, but, you know, it really, I'm going to pursue this a little bit further. You'll forgive me for this because I have to tell you, if I've mentioned it on the show, I was interested in the sinking of the Titanic going back to the time I was about 10 years old. I wrote to the famous writer Walter Lord when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I was so thrilled when he wrote me back. Very, very nice letter. He wrote the famous book, A Night to Remember. He gave me information as to where I could get some rare books on the Titanic that had been reprinted. I was part of a small group of people who were interested in that event. This was long before the internet, long before James Cameron's book or James Cameron's film Titanic. I was a member of the Titanic. In those days, it was the Titanic Enthusiasts of America. Then it later evolved into the Titanic Historical Society. I found my old membership card the other day going through my files. I had lots of books, old rare reprints of older books about the Titanic. I pestered my poor mother to buy them for me, books about with designs of the ship and the deck plans, and I read all the books I could get on it. I still have a library of about 20 or 30 books on the Titanic. Read those books all through every 10 years or so, refresh my memory on it. So the thing is, I've known about the situation for a long, long time. So it began to amuse me when a few years ago I started hearing that the Vatican sank the Titanic and that some of the key American millionaires who were on board the Titanic had been coaxed to join the ship ship's passenger list so that the ship could be sunk and these guys could go to the bottom of the ocean and end their opposition to the Federal Reserve. Well, I just did a quick check on the Internet, and apparently that story, and it turns out Israeli diamond peddler Eric John Phelps, he seems to be one of the primary sources on that, and a number of people have aped him and repeated that story, and there's a lot of people, good people out there, who truly believe it, even if they don't buy the Vatican angle, that the Vatican was behind the sinking of the Titanic. They do believe that they do believe that it had something to do with the Federal Reserve. Well, first of all, I saw a list of three men specifically named who were supposedly opponents of the creation of the Fed who went down with the ship. John Jacob Astor of the New York family, Isidore Strauss, one of the owners of Macy's department store, and Benjamin Guggenheim of the copper, silver, and smelting family. Now, what's very, very interesting, both Mr. Guggenheim and Mr. Strauss were Jewish, and they were interconnected with what is known as the German Auerkraut banking families, written about by Stephen Birmingham in his famous book of that title, Auerkraut. Well, I'm here to tell you that if the opponents of the proponents of the Federal Reserve were going to arrange for the assassination by the sinking of the Titanic of the American millionaires who opposed the Federal Reserve, they would not have arranged for Benjamin Guggenheim and Isidore Strauss to go down on the Titanic. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Titanic and some of the people that went down on the ship, just to illustrate to you how crazy this story, which is popular in Patriot Land, really is. Talk about Mr. and Mrs. Isidore Strauss. Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Strauss, there were many efforts to get Mr. Strauss to go into a lifeboat. He was an older gentleman, very frail. Many, many people were making efforts to get him to get into the lifeboats, and they were saying, come on, Mr. Strauss. You know, his wife refused to leave. She was a very gutsy lady. Yes, I'm praising a Jewish woman, Ida Blum Strauss. She refused to leave Mr. Strauss behind. Mr. Strauss himself refused many opportunities to enter the lifeboats, and he went down with the ship. So if they were out to assassinate him, he helped them do it because he turned down the offers to get into the lifeboats. As far as Benjamin Guggenheim is concerned, Benjamin Guggenheim and his manservant, whose name incidentally, Victor Giglio was his manservant's name. That's how much I know about the Titanic, ladies and gentlemen. I even know the names of some of the maids and manservants who were traveling on board. Mr. Guggenheim and his manservant, to great legend, dressed in their evening clothes, and when they were asked if they were going to try to get off the ship, Mr. Guggenheim said, according to legend, no, we've dressed in our best, and we intend to go down like gentlemen. If true, that's an amazing story. Mr. Guggenheim's mistress, who was traveling on board the ship, a young blonde singer, according to legend, did get off the ship in a lifeboat, and when she was arriving on shore, American shores, Mrs. Guggenheim was there waiting to see if her husband had survived, but she saw his mistress coming down the gangplank of the rescue ship. See, I know the anecdotes, folks. I know the details. It's amazing that they come to me as they do. Now, as I say, they were part of the Jewish crowd that created the Federal Reserve, yet they went down with the Titanic. John Jacob Astor, there are legends that he was Jewish. I've never, of Jewish origin, I have never really seen that officially confirmed. I tend to doubt it. If indeed they had converted from, they certainly weren't known in New York high society as Jewish. In fact, at that time, there was not a lot of interplay between the Jewish elite in New York and the quote-unquote WASP elite, which the Astors were basically the kings of that elite. Well, in any case, all of that having been said, I'm going to repeat again what I told you at the very beginning, just to illustrate the fact that the Vatican and or the Federal Reserve conspirators really didn't have much control over the loading of the lifeboats on the Titanic. What happened was was that Second Officer Lightoller, Charles Lightoller, a remarkable man himself, was in charge of loading the boats on the port side of the ship. First Officer Murdoch was in charge of loading the lifeboats on the starboard side of the ship. Starboard side is the right-hand side. Port is the left-hand side, for those of you landlubbers out there. On starboard side, they were lowering the boats without a lot of people in them, and they were even at one point having trouble getting people to get into the lifeboats, to the point that there were many American men, first-class passengers, who entered the boats with their wives. They were not among the more famous people among the American millionaires aboard, but there were some of them that did, in fact, get in the right-hand side lifeboats on starboard side, right at the right side of the ship. On the other side of the ship, and people were tending to congregate either on the people that were coming up and leaving the right-hand doors were on starboard side, people that happened to go out on the lifeboat deck on the left-hand side, on port side, tended to stay that way, stay right there waiting for the boats to be lowered. And as I recall, they were a little slower lowering the boats on the left-hand side, port side, such that there were many, many wealthy Americans, as Walter Lord said in A Night to Remember, cooling their heels. The cream of New York and Philadelphia society, practically all the most famous, wealthiest passengers, were congregating together with one another on port side. And many of those people, including Mrs. Astor, Mrs. Widener of Philadelphia, the famous Widener family, Mrs. Ryerson of the Steele family, Mrs. Thayer of the Pennsylvania Railroad family, they were all there together. They were hanging out because rich people hang out with rich people. And they were there with their husbands. And the husbands did not enter the lifeboats because on port side, Mr. Lightoller, the second officer who was in charge of loading the lifeboats, was not letting men enter. Now, some of the smart guys on board found out, though, that there were opportunities to get in the lifeboats on starboard side, and they just went in the door and walked across the reception hall and went out onto the other side of the deck. Now, you see, ladies and gentlemen, there was no way that you could actively conspire to ensure that certain people in that class did not get into the lifeboats, which is what the famous story is that the Vatican did. I mean, you know, I'm just telling you the basic facts. Any history of the sinking of the Titanic from any source will tell you essentially what I just told you. Now, some of you out there are listening to this right now and saying, oh, my God, why is Piper wasting his time on this? Piper is wasting his time on this, says Piper, because of the fact that there are so many good, decent people out there who believe this kind of nonsense. Even if, as I say, even if they don't believe the Vatican sank the Titanic, they still believe that somehow the Titanic was sunk as a way to facilitate the creation of the Federal Reserve System. No, 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 ladies and gentlemen. No, no, not true at all. But yet, there are people who believe it. If you don't believe me, go out and buy any book on the sinking of the Titanic, one of the earliest books written, or one of the more recent books written, and in recent years have been dozens of them still available. Get them on Amazon.com. Read it for yourself. Don't believe this crap that people are circulating on the Internet. Some of the people who are circulating it are doing it for malicious, insidious, invidious criminal purposes, to cause confusion, to cause people to doubt the seriousness of the very real concerns about the Federal Reserve. Other people are doing it in all sincerity because they believe it. But I'm here to tell you, folks, it's just not true. Think about it. If anybody has any doubts about it, wants to challenge me, please call live here on the air, International Internet Radio. If you can prove that I'm wrong and that I'm covering up for the Vatican and the Federal Reserve, as some people probably think, I'm here to be exposed. Please, show me where I'm wrong. We're going to the break.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth. 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Let's go to the heart of the matter. Life Change Tea has had some commercials that are not appealing to those who live in denial. Maybe we are to believe there are no parasites in the world, and that having a clogged colon is good for you, that being overweight is absolutely healthy, that there are no unhealthy chemicals in the air, and last but not least, fluoride in your water is good for you. Not. Get the tea. Change your body and life from unhealthy to healthy. Order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea, the tea that changes how you feel.
Alright folks, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. I was surprised to see when I checked my board, I've got a whole lineup of callers here, and I'm going to get around to them after the turn of the half hour here, so thank you for your patience. Regarding the Titanic, I got to thinking over the break. It's very interesting. One of the men who went down on the Titanic was Martin Rothschild. Now, Martin Rothschild was not apparently related to the famous Rothschild family, but needless to say, there was a Rothschild who went down on the Titanic. And you know who else went down on the Titanic? This is even more interesting. Edgar Meyer of New York City. Now, why is this interesting, folks? I'm going to blow the whole theory that the Federal Reserve sank the Titanic. I'm going to blow it to smithereens with this. And if you hear anybody ever again tell you that the Federal Reserve gang sank the Titanic, you tell them this fact. Edgar Meyer went down in the Titanic. His wife, and Edgar Meyer was a Jewish gentleman from New York, and his wife was pestering him to get into the lifeboats. But he wouldn't, and she did, and she survived. Edgar Meyer was a relative, either an uncle or the brother. In any case, he was an immediate family relative of Eugene Meyer. Now, Eugene Meyer is best known to people today as the guy who bought the Washington Post for pennies on the dollar back in the 20s or the 30s, and who later, whose daughter, Catherine Graham, who died a few years ago, was a publisher, and everybody knows what the Washington Post is. But Edgar Meyer, I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, I could be wrong about this, I think he was the first chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. So if he wasn't the first chairman, he was one, the first or the second chairman. He was certainly an early figure in the history of the Federal Reserve after it was created, and an immediate member of his family went down on the Titanic. And it's also worth mentioning that the Meyer family, Edgar and Eugene, the people I'm talking about here, were relatives of the Grand Rabbi of France. They're also related to the Levi Strauss fortune in San Francisco, one of the, now one of the wealthiest families in America. So, again, if you believe that the Federal Reserve sank the Titanic to get rid of the critics of the Federal Reserve system, then explain to me why an immediate relative of the guy, Eugene Meyer, who was one of the first chairmen of the board of the Federal Reserve governors, went down with the ship. Uh-oh. A little bit of a problem there, isn't it? There was one funny incident related in the Senate testimony in the investigation of the sinking of the Titanic. Mrs. Henry Stengel of New Jersey got a broken rib during the loading of the lifeboats because, as she described, a certain Hebrew physician from New York City, a stout gentleman, happened to be Dr. Henry Frauenthal, he jumped into the lifeboat that she was in and landed on her and broke her ribs. He was also joined by his brother-in-law, or his brother, I believe. Mrs. Frauenthal, however, escaped in another lifeboat. In any case, just another little Titanic anecdote for your amusement. Well, one more thing before we do go to the break. My archives from September 13th, 2002, that's about 6 months before the United States invaded Iraq. Forward newspaper, Iraq attack certainty, says Israeli spy chief. Israeli intelligence believes an American attack on Iraq is imminent, and most Israelis will welcome the action as an essential step in the worldwide war against terrorism. Israeli officials are under orders to keep a low profile on the looming hostilities to avoid letting opponents identify America's war goals with the interests of the Jewish state. But in private conversations with American officials and lawmakers, Israeli officials from left to right are voicing nearly unanimous, unequivocal support for an American offensive. The Israeli public, by a solid, steady 60% margin, backs the goal of toppling Saddam Hussein with or without prior international consent. Another article from September 20th, the campaign against Saddam Hussein is a must, Foreign Minister Shimon Peres flatly told reporters. Now, folks, as you know, when the war in Iraq went to hell in a handbasket, almost immediately after the toppling of Saddam Hussein, all these Jewish newspapers here in the United States were saying, oh, well, the Israelis never really wanted the United States to go to war against Iraq. They thought it was a bad idea, and 99.999% of the Jewish people in the United States opposed the war in Iraq, and the Israeli people never thought it was a good idea either, and blah, blah, blah. Folks, they either lied then or they lied after the fact. So I'm here to ask you, did the Jewish people lie when they said they supported the war, or did the Jewish people lie after the fact when they said that their opposition to the war was overwhelming? This is another case of what I call Jewish lies, because the lies are founded on the Jewish philosophy and support for the Jewish state and the principles which guide it, which is the laws of that book known, that series of volumes known as the Talmud, which teaches that the other, the Goyim, the Gentiles, are inferior and that the Jews are a superior group of people, and that God has given them the right to occupy the entire Middle East in what they know as Greater Israel. So which time were the Jewish people lying? I'm asking you. If somebody has an answer to that, please let me know. They either lied the first time or they lied the second time, but by God, they lied. And I don't like liars, especially Jewish liars who get the United States into wars that need not be fought.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The new World Order Beast is genetically modifying your food.
Genetically modifying.
Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses.
Viruses.
Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender.
Surrender.
All canned food supplies will eventually run out.
What then?
Then. Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company.
And it's owned by a real patriot.
Big John Lipscomb.
You can now have
an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Pfeiffer here at republicbroadcasting.org. I did a quick check over the break. Eugene Meyer became chairman of the Federal Reserve System Board of Governors in 1930, so he was possibly the second or the third chairman of the Fed. Incidentally, he also later was head of the World Bank, and in his early career he was a partner at Lazard Brothers, one of the great international Jewish banking concerns. And yes, it was his close relative, Edgar Meyer, who went down on the Titanic. All right, we're going to the phones. Let's go to John in California. John, what's going on?
Hey, Mike, happy Friday.
I hope so.
Hey, you're talking about the Titanic. It's Yeah, great. Listening to you, you always get the inside story. Look at this. How about the Zionists created the early day golem? You know, foisted up an iceberg? Why not? It's possible. That's a good laugh for the
week. Well, actually, in this case, it was probably a Goldberg rather than an iceberg.
You got it there. And I've been talking to you before about listening to the mainstream stuff during the week when I can't get on the internet in the car, and you know, it's constantly the same thing. You're either listening, it's either Air America on the left or the all the conservative sides. And I always thought about, you know, it'd be fun to have these talk show hosts just debate each other.
The thing is, and I've mentioned this before, John, I hadn't looked at cable television for a long, long time. Until about a year ago, when I was going on a year and a half ago, when I was in California, and I was in a hotel and I visiting with some friends, and I'd watch the Fox cable network, and then I'd switch over to the other quote unquote liberal cable networks. And what was interesting was is that they were all talking about the same things. They would have their peculiar twist on it, but essentially it would all come down to the same point of view. And especially when it came to the question of U.S.-Israeli relations and things that were going on in the Middle East, that's where they all fell into place. They might have their cosmetic differences on other things, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, you're getting just getting two versions of the same thing, and that's really, really, I think, classic in a sense, that it just goes to show you how tightly controlled the big broadcast media is at the very top.
No, you're absolutely right, Mike. But listening to the radio, it's a little more. It seems like, at least out here, I'm listening local. You know, you hear all the on all the right talk shows, the right side, you know, talking about it. They mentioned Israel so much. They do versus the left doesn't. But they, you know, you can tell they hide stuff. I know one of the on Fridays, it's Air America. One of the hosts has what they call a morning talk show with the infamous Bernie Sanders of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
The you know, so-called independent, you know, he's a closet Democrat. We all know that. He hasn't voted one thing for either that for what they do. But you listen to some stuff not too long ago, and somebody brought up that was going to be that case coming up of the Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, but. That was never either Israel Public Affairs was not mentioned or Israel, but just when it came up to the caller came up to the climax, he was cut off, and the host said, "Oh, it's a conspiracy theory you're giving," and I think he didn't want to have Bernie Sanders have to answer that.
Mm-hmm,
I think he was
mm-hmm.
just covering up for him.
Oh, absolutely, that's exactly what it came down to. Because yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, on a few occasions where I have actually called, it's been years really, where I've actually called any talk shows, I experienced that myself where, you know, there'd be a guest and a host, and I raised some question about U.S.-Israeli relations, and one of the hosts actually I was talking about JFK's opposition to Israeli nuclear weapons, and one of the hosts then jumped in to the guest and said, well, JFK certainly was controversial. We hear all these stories about his womanizing. And
oh, yeah,
of course,
change the subject real fast.
Yeah, talk about changing the subject.
it'd just be fun to listen to some of these debates each in a neutral area, so they can't hide behind their call screeners or
mm-hmm.
Their ads coming up. You know, I think sometimes they use time for ads to come up that they get people off they don't want to hear. And I can tell time-wise they always seem to be at the certain time. If it's about 2 minutes early, you know they're trying to just, you know, move them off.
Isn't that, yeah, I've noticed that too. You know what I mean? At first I would say to myself, oh, that's just a coincidence. But it happens a little bit too frequently.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, that's just
all right,
my
John,
thoughts
thanks
for the week.
Have
a good weekend.
All right, let's go to Jimmy in Kansas. Jimmy.
Hey, Michael, how you doing tonight?
How you doing tonight?
I can't believe that anyone would believe that the Federal Reserve or the Vatican had anything to do with the sinking of the Titanic, when we all know that it was a Germanic death cult. I was just gonna let you know. I don't know if you heard this news or not. It could be a wildly speculative rumor, but the word going around is that Jeff Rentz posted a link to Brother Nathaniel Kapner's website, and he had written an article that was called "Is Alex Jones a Zionist?" And supposedly Jones had Rentz fired from GCN.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Ooh.
And supposedly Rentz has already moved to some other small network.
Ooh, that's very, very interesting. If that, oh boy, I hadn't really been on the internet this evening at all, so I'll have to check that out. That's quite provocative, if true. Very, very interesting. You know, Brother Nathaniel's been a guest on this show. He's quite an interesting guy, and Boy, oh boy. Well, that's going to rock some boats, I think, if that's the case.
Definitely.
All right, listen, appreciate your call,
Jimmy. Keep up the good work.
Watch out for that German death cult.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to California with JG.
Hey, Michael.
How are you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, wife and I used to take your paper back 25 years ago, and we were such big fans of you.
Oh, good, okay.
But I guess the spotlight went down, unfortunately. That was in my military years. You know, Mike, I wanted to ask you, you know, I had read and become acquainted with a Pastor Bill Hughes, who was a, I guess he's a Seventh-day Adventist minister. And he's a really nice guy. And he wrote a couple of small books. Have you ever heard of him?
Now, I know of a William Hughes.
Okay.
But he's not a pastor. Now, there is another. Is he the author of that book, the booklet, The Secret Terrorists?
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, well, I think he's one of the people who has mentioned that the Titanic was a Vatican plot.
Yeah, that's where I was going to ask you. That's where I first read it, or maybe I heard it in another area. But, you know, he documents the reasons why, which makes a lot of sense. So my next question to you is, so why did the Titanic go down? Because as Bill said in his book, that the captain was a Jesuit agent, and he showed evidence to that reason. Plus, he had navigated those waters for 26 years. Plus, the Titanic was warned ahead of time, just like we were about 9/11.
Well, that's, you know, I tell you what, that's actually very simple. First of all, Captain Edward Smith, I don't even believe was a Catholic. I'm not sure about that. But
I'd say he was an agent.
Well, okay, but
I don't know.
Why would the Vatican? First of all, let's examine this. Why would the Vatican want to sink the Titanic?
Exactly, for the very reasons that we thought presumptuously, like you said in the beginning of the book. I mean, what's your opinion why it went down? Honestly?
Well, the reason why the Titanic went down is because, and it's pretty clear about this. Number one, that J. Bruce Ismay, who was the head of the White Star Line, was on board the ship, and he was encouraging the captain to speed the ship up because they wanted to break some records, you know,
right.
And have a big arrival in New York with the fastest
right.
ship, not only the biggest and most fabulous ship, but the fastest ship, number one.
Right.
Number two, what happened if the Titanic... The guys who were responsible for, you know, the lookouts, they did not see the iceberg until very, very shortly before the ship hit it, number one.
Right.
What happened was then that the captain, and here's this is important, too, the captain wasn't even on duty when the Titanic hit the iceberg. He was sleeping in his cabin. Second Officer Murdoch was in charge of the ship at that time, and the wheel master at the time was Mr. Hitchens, as a matter of fact. That's how much
right.
I know about this.
Right.
And what happened was, if they had hit the iceberg head-on, the Titanic probably would not have sunk because there wouldn't have been as much damage. Unfortunately, they tried to veer off, and as a consequence of that, the Titanic bumped along the iceberg, and there was apparently some problem, and this has been written about more recently, there was some problem with the type of steel that was used in the makeup of the ship, and it caused enough tiny little leaks in enough places along the starboard side of the ship that
yes,
the Titanic
that.
Could only hold water up into so many compartments.
Exactly.
And then, unfortunately, the watertight bulkheads did not go far up enough, and as a consequence, it dragged the ship down, and then the water began flowing into it. They didn't, there was a lot of concern. A lot of people just did not believe that the ship could sink, first of all.
Right.
But the ship's designer, Thomas Andrews, who was on board the ship, and incidentally, Thomas Andrews, who designed the ship, was from Northern Ireland. He was not a Roman Catholic.
Right.
So the designer of the ship wasn't even a Roman Catholic. And he told the captain, he said, look, this ship cannot survive. And by the time they realized that, the ship was already going down. They didn't have enough lifeboats for everybody because the British Board of Trade didn't require that they have that many lifeboats, and as a consequence, the ship sank. And it didn't take very long to sink. It hit the iceberg at like 11:40 p.m. and sank at 2:20 a.m. So it was a relatively short amount of time. So you know, these stories are very entertaining, and these theories, but they're not based upon any reality whatsoever. And Captain Smith of the Titanic was highly beloved. He was known. He had been known for years. And also there is some suggestion. I've seen some what you might call revisionist writing on it. There is some suggestion that Captain Smith was a bit of a gambler as far as his sea-going ways were concerned. And also, something else probably worth noting, this was Captain Smith's final voyage. He was planning to retire after he took the Titanic back from New York back to Southampton on the return trip, and that would have been his final voyage. So he may have been a little lax in and of himself, but he wasn't even on duty when the Titanic hit the iceberg.
So in your opinion, this was just a kind of a group of consecutive engineering debacles, number one.
Exactly.
Okay. Number two, then, have you heard of the organization by Jack Chick?
Yes, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, could you help me understand them? Because I've read some of their stuff, as well as Rome, you know, is involved, obviously. You know, I mean, personally, I believe they do most of the puppeteering, but we all have our theories and presumptions. But with the evidence of the way things went down during the Civil War with this priest warning Lincoln, and the evidence thus far, the other authors such as Hughes and others, and what Jack Chick has come, I mean, where do you stand on where the, you know, because if Rome does most of the puppeteering, the statements from some of the popes in centuries ago, the hatred towards America, you know, who actually abolished the Jesuits. There is a black pope, supposedly, with all these in charge and how they infiltrated all the nations and did what they did. There's supposed to be documentation about that. I've read it. Now, if we're all, you know, hallucinating about all this information, in your opinion, where does Rome come into any of this? Because they should.
Well, first of all, as far as Rome and the Civil War, I think if you look more accurately into that, you'll find, and this has been written about by Arnold Leese and by many, many other people, the Rothschild family had a major part in stirring up the events that caused the Civil War.
They control the Vatican Treasury.
Well, but even if they do, that doesn't mean that the Vatican or that the Rothschilds are working for the Vatican. Quite the contrary, that would suggest that the Vatican is working for the Rothschilds.
Well, that depends on who's
so,
who's
so
in
as
charge.
Far as the Civil War was concerned, Charles Higham, or maybe it's pronounced Higham, has written a very interesting book, Murdering Mr. Lincoln, and it makes it pretty clear that there was Rothschild connections to John Wilkes Booth and some of the conspiracies.
Yes, sir.
So that doesn't point toward the Vatican. I will also say something. A lot of this stuff that this Israeli diamond peddler, Eric John Phelps, has been putting out, he is basically rehashing a lot of totally fraudulent stuff that was cranked out back anywhere between 1860 and 1900. There's hardly anything original there in his writing. And what is original in his writing is, I'm going to say it flat out, fabrication. I got interested in his stuff because he was saying that the Vatican was behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And I want to tell you, the Vatican was not behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Well, you know, just because he was Catholic, you're right. Why would they kill a Catholic? Well, it's just the fact that he went against the bankers, which supposedly evidence shows that the Vatican controls most of everything.
You just got done telling me that the Rothschild family controls the Vatican's finances. So if the Rothschilds control the Vatican's finances, that means the Vatican is controlled by the Rothschilds and not vice versa.
Not if they oversee what the Rothschilds do, which is in the control factor, as we know.
JG, the problem is you just got done telling me that the Vatican's finances are controlled by the Rothschild.
It's in the Judaic Encyclopedia, Michael, and that's a fact.
But I'm familiar with that, but what I'm telling you is that if the Vatican is controlled by the Rothschilds, then the Rothschilds are not dictating to the Vatican. I mean, I'm sorry, the Vatican is not dictating to the Rothschilds.
Well, if they're under threat as to how they don't handle the moon right, they'll be under threat.
Wait, say that again.
I said, no, it doesn't matter who handles the money and who is actually controlling it.
Well, you're telling me that the Vatican has placed its money in the hands of the Rothschilds. That means then that the Rothschilds control the money and therefore have control over the Vatican. JG, if you want to stay on, you're more than welcome to. I think this debate is very appropriate, and we'll let the facts dictate the course of the debate. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try saw palmetto, but beta prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription beta prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try beta prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Gentlemen, welcome back. You know, I said a long, long time ago I was never going to discuss the Vatican being responsible for the JFK assassination, but, you know, I guess we have to talk about it here. JG introduced the topic. JG, you've said that JFK went against the bankers. JG, I'm sorry to tell you, the famous story that JFK issued an executive order introducing U.S. notes into the American economy, number one, that isn't true. What happened was U.S. notes were introduced into the economy during the Kennedy administration because of a federal law that was passed in the 1880s that required the periodic introduction of U.S. notes into the economy. The executive order that JFK issued had strictly to do with silver certificates, and it had nothing to do with U.S. notes. Number three, as I have documented, and as you can find out for yourself, U.S. notes were not withdrawn from the U.S. economy upon the death of John F. Kennedy. In fact, during the administration of his successor, Lyndon Johnson, U.S. notes were introduced into the American economy. You can go to websites on the internet that deal in currency, and you can buy U.S. notes that were issued during the Johnson administration. So you know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people point out to Jim Maher's book Crossfire as the source on the story that JFK introduced U.S. notes into the economy. If you go to Jim Maher's book Crossfire, you will see that his source on that he cites as an article that appeared in the Spotlight newspaper. What Jim Maher does not mention, I think only by an accident on his part, is that the Spotlight, 1 or 2 weeks after that original story was published, which was only a small news missed item, only about 5 or 6 sentences long, the Spotlight ran a very extended correction of that, saying, number one, folks, we were wrong. Number two, we've researched this issue in some detail, and here are the facts. So the legend that JFK issued U.S. notes into the economy and brought about his assassination just has no basis in fact. Furthermore, if you look at the intrigue that was going on surrounding the JFK assassination, it was taking place long before JFK issued his famous executive order, which, as I've already pointed out, had absolutely nothing to do with the Federal Reserve System or U.S. notes.
Yeah,
so I've just brought you some facts, J.G.
Michael,
I'm here.
Something?
What?
Yeah, no, I'm not debating any of this with you. I'm just debating. I mean, I'm just telling you what I've read in Bill Hughes' books and a couple others. I also wasn't debating the fact of U.S. notes, but I did read that because he introduced silver certificates, supposedly that's going against the Vatican, which has a tax base or something, which is something you don't do.
But you see, the problem with that is, J.G., that all those years people were talking about JFK and that executive order. They weren't talking about silver certificates. They were talking about U.S. notes. And the executive order had nothing to do with U.S. notes. And secondly, the actual number of silver certificates that were in the economy had very little impact upon the wealth and power of the Federal Reserve because they'd been around for a long, long time, just as U.S. notes.
Yeah, but what about Lincoln's introduction?
I'm sorry, what?
What about Lincoln's introduction of the similar factor of greenbacks? That was the exemplification.
Well, I think that that definitely had something to do with his assassination.
Right, right.
But that doesn't have to do with the Kennedy assassination, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Vatican.
Well, I'm with you, Michael, on all this. I'm just saying what I've read, you know, is what I've read.
Well, this is what I'm talking about here, J.G. You can't believe everything you read. All right, thanks for your call. Apologies to those many other callers we couldn't bring up here tonight, but we'll be here next week, God willing. We'll be eager to hear what you have to say. Steve, Ivan, Art, and Jim, and everybody else. Thanks for listening in. Stay tuned for more good programming here at republicbroadcasting.org.
With recent